What's up? It's another edition of the Pages Speak. And tonight, we're going to get down to the nitty gritty. Why can't the church just be real?
Hello, everybody.
Hey, what
up? I'm Pastor Stephanie Page, and this is
Jonathan Lee Page.
And we are the Pages Speak. Listen, as you come on, please share.
Woo!
Share.
Go to the podcast, you know,
yes.
Anchor FM,
yes.
All the
or YouTube,
Spotify,
subscribe to
Google.
Yeah, subscribe to the YouTube channel, or even subscribe to the Facebook page.
Yeah,
just subscribe so that you'll know when we're gonna come on. And right now, as you know, just get ready. Greetings to you.
Greetings.
Just please come on and share, because we just really want to get real tonight. Can the church get real? You know, it's been a lot of things that have just been really, really heavy on our hearts and on our minds regarding the church, regarding where we are now, and, you know, how God sees us and exactly where it is that we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And many times, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, it's very easy when things are not grand to just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Or when things are not in alignment, to just ignore it and just continue to go with the status quo. But the status quo is not going to get you to where God wants you to go or where it is that you're supposed to be.
Okay, true.
You know, narrow is the way that leads to where God is taking us, that life, that Zoe life, that abundant life. But wide, very wide, is the way that leads to destruction.
Yes.
That way is full of distractions and all kinds of other things. And we tend to not really pay attention to the fact that, you know, we have an enemy with an agenda. And, you know, and he's real, you know, he's smart with his stuff. You know what I'm saying? He very subtly moves to get you out of alignment, or to get us out of alignment with what God will have us to do. And many times the church is just not real with the things that are going on. I mean, for too long, we've been ignoring things, not casting out demons. For a long time, we know things that are going on within the body, but not necessarily equipping people to deal with the stuff. I know that for me personally, you know, a lot of times I'll see stuff, I'll recognize stuff. But even like with pastors, you know, you get burned enough times, you'd be like, you know what? I ain't even dealing with that fire. I'll let God handle it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are a lot of pastors who are burnt out. They tired. They over it. Disappointed. Hurt.
Committing suicide.
Yeah. I mean, getting sick. Things of that nature. Because it's like
walking away from the faith. Because
people are walking away from the faith. The people are walking away from the faith in droves. Because the thing is, it's like for so long, you know, we've been sort of operating in this, come in on Sunday morning, or even if it's a Saturday, and let's just praise and sing, and then, you know, we don't get like an emotional high with like this social club, whatever, but the roots aren't really being dug in, and we have a lot of just really, really immature people that can get drawn away very easily by some of any little thing. They'll walk away from their calling, from their commission, from their work, from what God has told them to do, from the giftings and actually what God has equipped and purposed for them to do for the body. Lost track. Many people have lost track of their importance to the body.
Drawn away and enticed.
Yeah, by all kinds of things. And the church, we're not really being real with it. It's like we're not being real with the fact that the church is under a real attack. We've been under a real attack, but we have not instituted the answer to it. And, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, many churches just really don't know what to do.
They don't
know what to do in order to really address the things that are eating away at the body. It's almost like You know, it's like the cankerworm and the locust are really eating away at the roots that people have in the body and causing them to chase after all kinds of different things. And some of it has come actually from the inside, whereas, you know, people see things, and instead of them really being rooted in the work of Christ to take light to the world,
yeah,
they're caught up in their own things or how they want to feel, or, you know, just sort of like self-absorbed.
Well, it's kind of hard that, you know, when you're dealing with life, I think a lot of times we don't recognize being overtaken. We don't recognize that we've been overtaken and drawn away from what God has done and doing. And sometimes we don't even know that the enemy has led us astray, you know, easily. And basically, it's like, how do you know, you know what I'm saying, when you really off, when you're thinking that everything that you're doing is really on point and what you're doing is right, and you don't recognize that the enemy is drawing you in a different direction? It's kind of like, where do we lose it? That's where do we lose it? Why do we lose it? Why do we allow ourselves to be hoodwinked in a lot of ways?
So. Good evening, Tamara. Good to have you on here.
Yeah,
it's like hoodwinked, and it's like, you know, the Word of God tells us that we don't have to be enslaved to the flesh. But in all honesty, majority of people inside the church are still slaves to the flesh.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, the fornication is just rampant.
Oh.
To the point, it ain't talked about
Has that ever stopped?
No, but the thing is, the church is supposed to be equipped to address it. You know what I'm saying? And so we have a lot of people. I even saw a post the other day that was saying that it's not the church's, what was it? It's not the church's
job.
Yeah, it's not the church's job to
It was some statement to the point where it's not the church's job
to put things in order yeah,
as far as your house.
As far as the house and the lives, yeah.
The house and the lives. Of the,
yeah.
Well, what is the church really positioned for? Because if God allowed the church to be here, it must be for a reason.
But, yeah, I mean.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a reason why the church here. The church is supposed to make impact.
Supposed
to make impact in families, make impacts in the lives of every part of your life. And many times people want to use statements like that, which I call loser talk. It's called loser talk because anytime you want to keep part of your life separate from the kingdom, you're not really kingdom at all. Because in kingdom, it engulfs every part of your life. It don't matter what's going on. It engulfs every part. How you gonna say, God, I'm good, I'm gonna run this, you stay out of that?
But the thing is, that's what it's been like. Because unfortunately, again, if we're really gonna be real, the church has gotten out of really being involved in people's lives for a long time.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Wait,
the church, I mean, we're gonna be real honest with it. Many churches are involved just up until services over on Sunday morning.
Okay.
They're involved until they're taking up that last offering.
Okay.
And after that last offering, then you know you on your own. And then people are operating on that high they got in the worship or the, you know, the encouragement they got on the word, and that's gonna help them, you know, carry them throughout the week. But if the church, which are the called out people, called out of darkness into light, and they're supposed to enter into the kingdom of God, where God is the rule, it needs to be a complete lifestyle. There's no reason why the church, we should not have relationships and be a family in the church just as much as we're a family amongst ourselves.
But we've gotten
away from that because the church has followed this institution, the institution from Catholicism. That's what they've set themselves up to be, and we've lost our effectiveness in the lives of the people. We've lost our effectiveness in the lives of the community. We've lost our effectiveness in the lives of the homes and the families. We've lost our effectiveness in regards to the children. We've lost our effectiveness in regards to strengthening the people to walk in Christ. We've lost our effectiveness as far as maturing people to be built up in the Holy Spirit,
right,
to where they're able to overcome the temptations of the world, even to the point where when people are tempted, they should be able to call somebody in the church to help them to bear the burden of whatever it is that they're dealing with, whatever that lust is, whatever that feeling is. You know, I should be able to call my sister and listen, I'm feeling some type of way. I need you to encourage me, at least talk me out of what I'm getting ready to do,
right,
because my flesh is telling me to go handle this. And I need to go handle this, and I need somebody there to sort of talk me out of it.
Right.
But the institution of the church has taken away those relationships. And so now we got a bunch of cliques, a bunch of social clubs. You got, you know, just behavior that is not like family. And so then you either have that or you have the manipulation factor instead of people being matured in the spirit. Listen. The giving that we should do, the word of God tells us that the law should be written on our hearts, right?
Right.
That it's no longer the letter of the law that should be conducting our behavior, but the law that's written in our heart by Holy Spirit that's living inside us, leading us and guiding us into all truth. For God has already given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness.
Right.
Now, if that is true, then there should be a change in behavior that's not just so that you're not on a list as not giving, or that you're not ostracized because you didn't do the things that the people wanted you to do when they wanted you to do them. So we have this environment, and then let's just keep it real, where the church has been manipulating people
for a long time,
either guilting them into doing things, ostracizing them into doing things. I know there were times where I would give money because I didn't want to be on the list of people who didn't.
How you know you was on the
but
list?
The truth, because your name would be on the list if you didn't give what you were supposed to give.
Oh, so they would use that to embarrass you.
They would use that to embarrass you to give them. But the truth of the matter is, people became accustomed to the manipulation to the point where, yeah, the money agenda. People became accustomed to the manipulation in order for the agendas of the people, to the point where, as now, when it's time for them to operate via Holy Spirit obedient,
yeah,
they don't do it. You know, if you're not telling them, listen, if you don't tithe, you're not going to get no money. Or if you're not telling them, listen, if you don't give, you're not going to be blessed. Basically scaring people into doing what they ought to do because God is unctioning them to do it. Then, you know, then they don't give. And it's almost like we've created an atmosphere whereas people only respond to manipulation
or control
and control,
you know,
and those things that are
man
not
rob God.
Those things that were not
that was worked a lot,
yeah,
of the time.
Because where are the watchmen on the wall, the intercessors, the ecclesia? Well, again,
that's
the
a
ecclesia,
good question.
The ecclesia are the church. That those are those who get called out of darkness,
yeah,
into the light. And like you said, where are the watchmen? Well, I'm gonna tell you. A lot of people, it's like, okay, well, I have to spend time praying or on the wall, but I got to make my money. You know, some people are not going to do nothing unless you pay them.
Right. That's true.
Because money, and where are the people who will help you without talking about you?
Oh,
again,
you're asking some good questions.
You're asking some good questions. Where are the people who will help you? Because again, if we're supposed to be a family, and if that's, again, that's supposed to be coming from the law that's written on your heart.
Yeah.
The law that's written on your heart, I'm not going to gossip and backbite. Gossiping and backbite is just as much of an abomination as homosexuality. But people will show up, harp on homosexuality and not say, mm-hmm, nothing about the backbiting, the gossiping, the talking about, the putting,
yeah,
down, the snickering, the making people feel bad if they don't have the right clothes on, making people feel bad, and you know, about all kinds of different things. And then this is the whole thing. In regards to the church, there should never be a point where I, as a pastor, have an abundance, but my flock is struggling to get bread on the table.
Come on, man.
That God wouldn't operate like that.
No.
God would not operate like that for his name's sake. You know, so where do we get that notion that it's okay for me to have a lot and you to have none? And then we say, oh, it's because of your faith. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
God uses people. And he uses individuals to bless people. There's a way, I mean, where we have to look at, we have to really recognize the season that we're in. We got to really look at the reflection. The writing is on the wall. We got to look at ourselves in a real way and not be afraid of what we're looking at so we can be able to change the things that are going on. We got to keep it 100.
I mean, if we really want to tell the truth, if Jesus were to come back, keeping it real, if Jesus were to come back right now for his church, he'd be like, what is this?
He'd be like, yeah,
this is not what I set up. This ain't clean. This is not without blemish. We got manipulating. We got lying. We got greed. We got stealing. We got assassination of characters. We got beating people up on the pulpit. We got gossiping. We got selfishness. We got jealousy. We got envy. We got competition between ministries. We got. What is this?
You can't even come together without even somebody saying who's gonna run it.
Why is that? Why is it? He be flipping a lot, baby. Yes, William. He be flipping tables. He be kicking down doors. He be dragging people out by the head. He would not be happy, and he'd be really flipping over the tables because a lot. I'm gonna tell the truth, and this is it, because we gotta be real. The church.
We're in a Hosea state.
We become Gomer. The church has become a money hole. Because the fact where you can buy a pastor to not speak the truth
to you.
A pastor will change their sermon if your money gives.
If the money right, preacher there every night.
If the money right. A whole lot would just be like, well, what happened? But the thing is, you're not prepared with the heart and the mind of Christ. And even, yes, hirelings. There are so many hirelings. And not only are they hirelings, but they glory hell. Want God's glory. They want the praise. They want the honor. They want everybody to bow down to them. It might as well be Babylon and everybody bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar. I don't want to hear about no new denomination. What is that?
We don't need no more.
We don't need another denomination. We got enough division right now in the church. I'm looking at a pastor that's talking about, yeah, we're starting new denominations. Excuse me, for what? God is calling us to come together. Are you not listening?
He don't recognize that he's opening up a door for a whole floodgate of religious garbage. The very thing that he preaches against is the very thing he's opening up the door to.
Yeah, and again, it's so many things that are now in the church. And I'm saying this again.
Yeah.
Jesus said that when the kingdom comes, there will be casting out of devils. Yeah. All right? Healing. All of these things are signs of the kingdom of God has come near you. There are a lot of demons in pulpits.
Uh-oh.
There are a lot of demons in pews.
Uh-oh.
There are people who speak that those in the church can no longer be oppressed by demonic strongholds. That is a lie. That's a lie. There's a spirit of lust. There's a spirit of mammon.
Perversion.
Perverting the gospel of truth. Control. Jezebel. Who has silenced the prophets. There are all these spirits, false teachers, absolutely, that are running around in the pulpits, in the pews, in the church. And my thing is, when are we going to love people enough to say, yo, this ain't it. This just isn't it.
Man.
People cannot even stand sound doctrine right now. You start preaching sound doctrine, they start running because they got itching ears for that which feels good to their flesh.
Yeah.
Correction. You start correcting people, baby, they getting away from you.
Yeah.
You start casting out demons, watch the pews start getting thinner.
Yeah.
Why do you think the views get thinner when you cast out demons? Because them demons don't want
to
go.
They ain't trying to go. They'd rather stay home. Get far away.
They'd rather stay home to keep doing what they want to do.
They're going
to
do it.
And come up with every excuse.
Or they're going to go to the next place.
You said it's the spirit of Antichrist in the church. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Listen, the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit that doesn't want you to be who Christ said that you are. So the spirit of Antichrist will shut down the prophets. The spirit of Antichrist will bring about division in the body. The spirit of Antichrist will not allow the saints to be empowered. The spirit of Antichrist will hinder the fivefold ministry. All of that is the spirit of Antichrist, because the body of Christ is supposed to be moving forward, edifying, growing in maturity, and being empowered by Holy Ghost to be the kingdom of light in this world of darkness, to change this entire world. But the church has gotten off track. And all it is an institution that people run to in order to get a high a feel good on Sunday. And then they go right back. They're not walking in power, not walking in authority. Most people are not being told on the regular basis of their true identity, because if they're told of their true identity, then the pastors are going to have to come down on that off their pedestal and understand, guess what? We are brothers and sisters.
We are brothers and sisters.
There is no big, mean, little you.
Yes.
We're all brothers and sisters. We just have a job to do. And we've been anointed to do this job for the edification of the entire body, so the entire body can stand up in power against the kingdom of darkness in this world and be a light, a city that cannot be hid, so that those that are lost will run into it. But the spirit of Antichrist has brought in this system of religiosity that quenches the Holy Spirit. Quenches the power in the people.
Yeah.
That causes people to think that they don't even have a Holy Ghost unctioning to do things. People don't even think they can hear God. And God is constantly speaking.
Yeah.
He wants this. What king does not want his people to hear his declarations or his word?
Exactly.
And again, the religion will tell you that the Bible stopped when they stopped putting the books together, when they stopped with the councils that, you know, within the Catholic Church.
Right.
As long as God is still speaking, as long as his people are still moving, as long as the church is still in operation, the Bible is just being lived out. Now, he's not going to contradict what was written beforehand.
No.
He's not going to contradict that. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Bible is very valuable, but, you know, we have to be careful not to quench Holy Spirit and to take the limits off of who God is, and we have to take the limits off of who God says we are.
The limits of God, what he says about us.
I can't hear you.
How come you can't hear me? You right next to me.
You're talking so soft.
I'm just being soft and delicate today. Because a soft word turns away wrath.
Man, you still gonna get wrath.
You gonna
get
no.
Prayer, y'all.
You gotta talk soft.
You need prayer, y'all.
People can't take it when you go ahead and tell the truth.
Say this.
People can't take it. So I gotta talk soft.
Okay. Many people in the church are addicted to manipulation.
Really?
Yeah.
We know that. We know that. You see it all over the place.
So what do we do?
What do we do? Man, we need to go back to the drawing board. We need to go back to the original plan that God instituted from the beginning. We need to go back to that thing. We need to go back to following the Holy Spirit. It's time for us to start pouring out and start repenting.
Still praying for the greater works that Christ was talking about. Listen, those greater works we will do.
Yeah.
The thing is, it has to be to where we are walking in love, first off, loving God, loving one another, worshiping God in spirit and in truth, submitting to Holy Spirit within us, upholding one another, encouraging one another, training up one another, helping to mature one another and truly becoming the family of God, where there has to be unity. A kingdom divided cannot stand.
Okay.
And there's so much division in the church. Listen, the church is divided by color, race.
Right.
The church is divided by a bunch of doctrines and denominations. For what? Are we all claiming Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Why are we going to be divided over a handkerchief on your head or pants or an instrument? That don't make no sense. It makes no sense. But all of these things people grab a hold to cause themselves to believe that they're more holy than somebody else. It's that whole mindset of competition. The body is extremely fragmented because we're in competition to say, who's more holy than somebody else? When the only one that makes us holy is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God himself, who's working in us, both willing to do according to his good pleasure. All of us, by our own righteousness, are dirty, filthy rags. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is the great equalizer. But if we're not depending on Jesus, listening to Christ Jesus, following his way, then we're going to continue having all these hierarchies and divisions and ups and downs and me's and them's and they's. And the church is in trouble. We are in trouble.
So how are we going to tie? How is this all, when we wrap it up, how is all this, what needs to happen in order for the church as a whole to come back into alignment with what God has already said?
First of all, we have to tell the truth.
Okay.
We got to tell the truth. We have to tell the truth about what is real and what is not. We have to tell the truth about the current institution that is built upon is not what Christ established.
Okay.
We have to tell the truth that, yes, the Bible is a wonderful, awesome book, and it's a tool that God gave us that is awesome. Okay? We love the Word of God.
Yeah.
But you still need history. You still need to know the geography and the makeup of the land. You still have to know the cultures of that time. You still have to know some other things in order to have a full understanding of what was being said so that you can rightly divide the Word of God.
Okay.
We have to tell the truth that many right now in the church do not rightly divide the Word of God. Ooh. We also need to
some
get to tell the truth. Well, then
some
be offended.
Take
but if you're mad at the truth, I'm sorry. But the truth will make you free. We got to tell the truth that many of the things that we follow are the traditions of men and not the mind, the heart, the way of God. And we got to be honest with it. And if it's not from God, throw it away.
Okay.
If it's out of order with what God wants, get rid of it. And this is the biggest thing. Pastors, leaders, listen, please. Teachers, whoever you are, when you find out the truth, and if you find out you've been in error, humble yourself.
Yeah.
Say you were wrong and fix it.
Ain't nothing wrong with being wrong.
It's okay to be
it's
wrong.
It's okay, as long as you can acknowledge and
because you are human.
That you're wrong.
You're human.
You make mistakes.
You make mistakes.
It is what it is.
But you can't keep putting, like trying to cover up the lie. Or keep trying to cover up the error because you don't want to be humble and say, yo, I got that wrong. I'm sorry. Let me go back.
I said it was this,
but it's really that. We really shouldn't be doing things this way. We need to be doing things that way. You know, I was feeling some type of way when I said this. Something else. Be honest. Listen, I don't care who you are. Layman, leader, what is a layman?
Where's
it's not
layman?
Such thing.
Where you layman?
Anyway.
We ain't gonna go with a layman.
Anyway.
That can be
so
tricky.
The thing is,
that can be tricky.
It shouldn't matter who you are. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We gotta start telling the truth to one another. Listen, stop running around with offenses. If you got an issue with somebody, will you please go to them? Work it out. Stop feeding the division that's in the body.
damn time.
Oh, so much. We got a part two next week.
We're gonna do a part
and yeah, two. The body is too fragmented, and there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, we've gotten away from really what Christ has called us to. And everyone, many of us are feeling it in their spirit. We feel the pull of God for unification.
Yes.
You feel the pull of God to be one with Him and one with one another. And it's like, if you're feeling that, and you're feeling that unction, and you feel that pull, it's time to stand up.
Come on, man.
Can we speak the truth to leadership?
Yeah.
Please do.
Can we speak truth to anybody?
Anybody.
Can anybody receive the truth? This is it's a hard time we live in, but it's also a great time because God's extremity is God's opportunity.
Yeah, man's extremity is
God's opportunity. So no matter how extreme man God gets, no matter how extreme the church is out of alignment, it's God's opportunity to show Himself as God.
And right now, that's what God is doing. I'm seriously, it's like leaders. You know, what can we do to come together in unification? What can we do to tear down these walls of denomination? What can we do
to
eradicate the lies? What can we do in unity to cast out these demons, to deal with the spirit of Antichrist? Listen, just like my sister Sharon said, where are the gatekeepers? Where are the people on the wall, the prayer warriors, the intercessors?
Yeah.
We have to get back in position. Because the enemy has been running rampant in our churches. He's been running rampant. And he has done a good job at diffusing the dunamos, which is like dynamite, power of Holy Ghost.
You said dunamos?
No, it's dunamos.
Sorry, the dunamos. Dunamos.
Well, the dunamos power.
Dunamos.
And dunamos is like, it's the same as dynamite. It'll blow stuff up. But he keeps diffusing it. And it's what we in the church have. We have this power in earthen vessels.
Yeah.
Many of us are looking for it. I've seen it. It's here. The truth of the matter is, though, we just got to come together. And in order to come together, we have to tear down these lies, these traditions of men, tear down these false structures that we built upon that were not what Christ established. Listen, Christ, the body of believers, the way that Christ established was powerful. They had all things in common. They were submitted to Holy Ghost. They walked in love. They walked in true brotherhood. They cared for one another.
Yeah.
They weren't divided by building. They weren't greedy with filthy lucre or money. Mammon was not their God. Jesus, Holy Spirit, God the Father.
Come on, man.
So, yeah, can we just be real?
Let's be 100.
The real 100 is we got some issues.
Be 100.
And the real 100 is it's going to take all of us to deal with it, to get ourselves in alignment, because keeping it real, there's some stuff coming up on the horizon, y'all. We ain't ready for it yet.
Well, we can be ready.
We have to get ready.
We can do it together.
If we can be real, there's some things that the enemy has planned. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. God has given warnings. Many have been seeing visions about things that are to come, and it ain't good. But God has given us power and everything we need in order to stand and be right. But first, we got to get real and throw out the garbage.
Amen.
We got to talk about this more next week. Anyway, if you have not purchased my book yet, please feel free to purchase it. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can also get a signed copy from me, Gracefully Losing My Religion. Please get a copy of it. It is a very good book. It will cause you to think. Amen. If you want to give to the Pages Speak, you absolutely can. If this blesses you in any way, because we always forget. It's in the comments somewhere. Y'all can find out how to do it. But, you know, if you know us, you know we don't even focus on that stuff. The truth of the matter is we're servants of God. We're here to do the work of the kingdom of God. God makes a way for us.
Yes,
you know, if he tells you to bless us, amen. But, you know, that ain't what our focus on. Our focus is on, we got to get right.
Come on.
And we got to tell the truth. And we got to get real with it, church, so we can deal with it.
Like the old song, get right, church, let's go home.
Amen.
Get right, church, and let's go home.
Amen. This has been the Pages Speak. Who are you?
My name is Joe Nathan Lee Page.
I'm Stephanie Page.
What up, though?
Next week, we'll hit part two. Can the church just get real? Some other things we want to talk about that's going on in the pews.
Come on, now.
It's so much.
So much stuff.
Anyway, we'll talk until next week. Until next time, we love you. I'm Stephanie Page. It's Joe Nathan Page. We are the Pages Speak.
Joe Nathan Page.
We love Page. We love you guys. Until next time.
Until next time.
Bye.